It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. We're so delighted you're spending some of your weekend, or maybe some of your weekday if you're listening to the podcast, with us. If you've got a financial question, we would love to help you out. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL. 855-411-JILL, or you can send an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about having this guest on before the end of last year, and I thought, you know what, I gotta wait till the calendar turns over when people are all excited about, I need a new financial advisor, I need financial help, and so then I thought I would go to the expert. And that expert is Janet Stanczak. She is the president of the board of directors for the Financial Planning Association, which is also called the FPA. It is the largest membership organization for CFP professionals in the country. She, you know, her real job is she's the owner and principal of her own financial planning firm, Financial Empowerment LLC in Bloomington, Minnesota. She's had lots of leadership positions in the FPA locally, nationally. She's a Badger. University of Wisconsin, and she also earned a Master's of Science in Financial Planning. So good, she's a smarty pants. So without further ado, Janet, welcome to Jill on Money. Thank you so much for coming on.
Jill, thank you for that awesome introduction, and thank you for having me with you today.
Excellent. You know, it's funny. I'm going to read you a question that I got from a listener who is from Lansing, Michigan, as a matter of fact. So, you know, I think that everyone in the Midwest lives on the same block. So I think that's right near you. It's probably not. So he says, this is a generic question, is perfect because this is the kind of question we get every single week. And he says, I've got two questions. I'm close to retiring. When looking for a financial advisor, what are the type of guys who have a one-time charge? Is that the guy who's better than the one who takes a percentage of your money? And so, Janet, there's a lot of confusion about types of financial advice and what is out there. And can you explain to our listeners the different types of advice and how we should be judging those types of advice?
I love that question because you're right. There are so many people that are wondering that. And as many different kinds of services as there are different ways to charge for them. And I really encourage people to look for the advisor that offers services that match what you're looking for. So to your listener that wanted to know, can he find someone that he just goes and pays for a plan or perhaps to address some specific questions? You can find planners that work that way. There are some planners that require you to have an ongoing long-term relationship. In other words, they want to know that you're a good fit to work with them long-term, and they are more likely to charge a percent of assets or work under a retainer because they expect to work with you not just today to develop a financial plan, but they also want to work with you going forward. So it's very much a long-term relationship, so the fee structure is different. Perhaps it's a percent of assets because they're going to manage your portfolio along with offering the financial planning services.
And in your mind, I mean, one of the things that is distinct about the FPA versus, say, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors is that you're saying, look, it's not that one fee model is better or worse. You think it just depends on what the person needs, right?
That's exactly right. It depends on what the person needs. And the consumer needs to be really smart about asking the questions so that you know how your planner works. So many times I'm really quite surprised when I have someone new come in, and I call it my fit meeting. Are we a good fit to work together? And they may not have many questions for me. And I think about, oh, my gosh, for instance, if my mother was going out to find a financial planner, I'd probably have two pages of questions that I would want her to ask that planner to find out how they work and what are the typical services that they offer. So, you know, the consumer has to get smart about it. It's kind of like being your own advocate. You know, when you have medical issues, you have to be your own advocate as a patient. And when you're looking for a financial planner, you have to be your own advocate again and ask, what kinds of qualifications do you have? What's your experience? Why are you qualified to do my financial planning? And what areas have you worked in? What kind of ongoing education do you do? What are your certifications or designations that you have? I mean, I would drill them just as I would if it was my mother seeking a planner.
That, and you know what? I think, and I'll put a link to this. The Financial Planning Association has, you know, I have like 10 questions to ask. You guys have 35, and I'm not letting you do all 35, but I'm going to put a link to it on our website in our show notes. The questions to ask, you have 35 different questions. They may not all be applicable, obviously. And I'm scrolling through here, and there's lots of different questions. In your mind, if you had to kind of say who should go to a commission-based advisor, because let me just say, gang, that Janet and her colleagues spanked me. They took me out to lunch, and then they spanked me because they said, you know, you go on your radio show and you say you should only use fee only, and, you know, that's not necessarily true. And I capitulated. I said, you're right, because clearly there are people, if they have 20 stocks that they've inherited from their grandmother and they're not doing anything with that and maybe selling one stock every so often, then that person is a commission-based candidate. And in your, for your advisors, a CFP who's a fiduciary who charges by commission, they have to tell you if that's the better model for you, right?
That's correct. You know, in the FVA, we are all about full and fair disclosure. We don't believe that any given compensation model is necessarily better than the other one, because when you go to a planner, when you go to an advisor, the main thing is, can I trust you? Are you going to work in my best interest? And are you going to disclose when there are potential conflicts of interest in our relationship so that I'm aware of that and I can take that into consideration as I weigh your advice?
And I think that's really important. And we are talking to Janet Stanzak. She is the president of the board of directors for the Financial Planning Association. And we're going to have to take a quick break, Janet, but I want you to hang on because you are so good. You get to stay on for two segments. That's a very high praise coming from this show. We don't usually keep guests on for it. But when we come back, what I'd like to know from you, and here I'll give you a little time to think about it, is what do you do if you really feel like there's something wrong in your relationship with your advisor? A lot of people have relationships with advisors, and they feel like something's gone astray. Obviously, they went with this person because they liked him or her, or it seemed good, or it seemed like a good fit. I need some help for people listening. Often they'll call here and they want to know, what do I say? I don't want to be in this advisory relationship anymore. And I'd love to hear your view, coming from both sides, obviously, giving people advice, but also being an advice giver yourself and being in that position. What should people do so that they know how to make that relationship get back on track? All right, so stay tuned because we have got more great conversation with Janet Stanzak. She is the president of the board of directors for the Financial Planning Association. You are listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. You can email us at askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Jill. That's the number to call to have your financial questions answered. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to help you out. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL, or you can send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Before we went to the break, we were talking to Janet Stanzak. She is the president of the board of directors for the Financial Planning Association. And Janet, I gave you the question of, once you have a financial advisor, once you've asked those 35 questions that you guys have at the FPA and you feel good about it, right? What do you do if things feel like they're coming off the rails? How do you approach that with the advisor?
You know, I have occasionally run into clients that have questions about the recommendations that I provide. I mean, I think every advisor does. It's just like anytime you go to a professional like a doctor, like a CPA, you always want to know why certain things are recommended. So I think it's really important as a consumer to ask questions of your advisor, come up with some specific questions. If it's something related to a specific investment, if it's related to the overall performance of your portfolio, if you're wondering why an advisor recommended that you needed certain things as part of your financial plan, if you don't know why those recommendations were made, I think it's the advisor's role to educate. And certainly that should have been done up front before the recommendations were implemented. But if now you're looking in hindsight at that advice and what you're doing, I think it's really appropriate to say, now, can we go over this again?
Right.
What were the pros and cons of what you recommended here, and why did you recommend this specific thing?
And do you think that if an advisor says, hey, I'm switching to a commission-based to a fee-based model, and I've gotten many calls from people who listen here and say, you know, I switch because it seemed like a great idea, but as it turns out, it's really costing me a lot more money. How do you feel about people who just say, you know what, this wasn't right for me, it's not the right model? Or do you think that that's really the advisor's fault? Like the advisor should have realized, you know what, I'm switching to this model, is probably not the right model for you.
Well, it is incumbent on the advisor to provide that information to the client. And let the client make that decision. Is this the right move for me? Will I be paying more or less or the same? And sometimes when financial planners change business models, they will accommodate a fee structure that their client is accustomed to.
Yeah.
So if the client was under a less expensive fee structure, a lot of times the planner can compensate for that and adjust their schedule. If not, I think the client has to step back and say, well, maybe this shift wasn't in my best interest. Maybe it works for many of the advisor's clients, but if it doesn't work for me, I may need to find a different solution.
You know, it's interesting because I think so much of the relationship between a client and an advisor, it's a very intimate relationship, but it also requires some work. And so I don't want to put it all on the advisor. I think sometimes if you're sitting there festering with a question, it's like with your spouse, you can't let it fester. You really have to air it, because then it could go beyond, you know, maybe the advisor has a very easy response to you. Hey, you know what? I know I told you that we can count on a 3.5% withdrawal rate, but you know, when the markets tank and you take that money out, it hurts because, you know, you're taking money out when the market's lower. Or maybe I didn't properly explain this to you. Let me go over it again. So I think that it's also incumbent on people who enter into this relationship to say it's a two-way relationship. You've got to tell me when you don't feel right about something, right?
Oh, exactly right. It's like any relationship. I think communication is the most critical element of every relationship that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And so when it comes to working with your advisor, of course, you know, I think about when my clients